Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CTEC Acquisition Conference Call. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in our investor update, which has been emailed to you and also posted on our corporate website. This call will be accompanied with earnings call presentation. Details of the same have already been shared with you. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Krishna Bodanapu, Managing Director and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Stephen, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us, especially on a short notice on the acquisition update of CTEC. Like we said in the release, it is the largest acquisition to date for us, and therefore we thought we should take a few minutes to give you the rationale and explain rationale for the acquisition and also how we plan to integrate it and, more importantly, leverage it going forward. Before I get started with that, can I also introduce a few of my colleagues who are on this call? We have Mr. Ajay Agarwal, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Karthikeyan Natarajan, the Chief Operating Officer, Dr. Narasimhan, the Chief HR Officer of Cyient. They are all here on the call. I also want to welcome Mr. Johan Westerma, who is the Chief Executive Officer of CTEC, who is joining us from Finland on this call today. And we'll hear from Johan at the end of Ajay's remarks on the financials in a few minutes. So I will let Johan give a little bit more of a brief on CTEC at that point. But with that, if I may first take you through quickly the positioning, and just to refresh everybody, over the last couple of years, we've been refining our positioning as consulting-led, industry-centric technology solutions, and there's three elements of it. The first element is the consulting piece, where we're helping our clients articulate the problem, flush out the problem, and then articulate the solution. Industry-centric, where our domain expertise, which has really been our differentiator for a long time, that plays in, where we've brought in, obviously, as many of you follow us quite a bit, we've brought in significant amount of differentiation in industries like aerospace and communication. And ultimately, the technology solutions piece, this is really the evolution of the business, where through these technology organizations, we're able to build, deploy, articulate, and monetize these technology solutions. So the idea behind our positioning is really that we're able to help our clients both or through a combination of our consulting experience, our domain experience, and our solution capabilities, solve problems that really matter to them and using technology to solve these problems. And this might not be very new for many of you, given that you follow us quite a bit, and this is how we position the organization. In that context, one of the industries that we've been meaning to strengthen is the process and plant engineering industry, or the plant engineering related sectors. And in that context, we signed definitive agreements to acquire CTEC. Our Cyient will buy 100% of CTEC, who I said are an organization that provides plant engineering related services. But of course, as an addition to that, engineering consulting, product engineering, and technical documentation. Primarily, the clients are energy companies and some mining companies, especially on the product side. Why did we do this deal? It helps position Cyient very strongly in plant engineering. Cyient already had a small plant engineering capability, but with the addition of CTEC's significant plant engineering capability, this will make us one of the largest independent plant engineering companies. And that's a sector that's growing quite well. And also, the next point is, which is very important, is that sector is also adopting a number of newer technologies around digital and digital capabilities, which we've built a lot of good solutions. So it helps us take the solution portfolio of Cyient and the technology portfolio of Cyient into these process industries. It gives us access to multiple global companies in the energy process plant, and also it's a bridgehead into other process-related industries such as pharma, food processing, etc. And lastly, it also helps us diversify our portfolio of industries. As you know, there have been a few industries which have gone through a bit of cyclicality, and we thought long and hard about some of the diversification of risk and moving away from the cyclicality, and we believe this gives us a fantastic opportunity to diversify into these plant engineering related industries, which then add to it some of the capabilities that we've already built in mining, in plant engineering, and also mining. It creates a very solid portfolio of us. We're calling that cluster as MEU, which is mining, energy, and utilities, which is another big industry. But the MEU sector will be very well positioned for Cyient to be in the market. The key strengths of CTEC are the scale in plant engineering. Obviously, there's a lot of energy transition that's going on. With the adoption of imperative to move towards more and more green energy, including hydrogen, biomass, and so on and so forth, CTEC brings some very strong capabilities, and we believe that this will position Cyient in a unique manner. And like I said, this will make us one of the largest independent plant engineering companies, and we're very excited because, not just what that market will do, which I'll talk about, but more importantly, how our technology portfolio plays into that market, and it's going to be a game changer for us. If I may just introduce CTEC, and in a few minutes I'll also then request Johan to talk about it in a little bit more detail, but it's a company that was founded in 1984, headquartered in Vaasa in Finland. That's where a lot of the energy OEMs are. But the capabilities include plant engineering, product engineering. Primarily, we will be then based in the Nordics, Finland, Norway, Sweden. But also, we'll then get good capability in France and Germany. But I'd say one of the most appealing things of CTEC is also more than 50% of their staff is already based in India. So what that does is CTEC already has built a global engineering model and has done it very successfully, given that more than 50% of their staff is in India. So they're a company unlike us in very complementary industries. So when we first came across this business, it was a no-brainer, if I may put it that way, for us. And again, I'm very excited that the deal has gone through and will now be able to work closely and integrate with CTEC. There will be about 1,200 employees, and in terms of financials, last year's revenue was roughly 80 million euro with 13% EBIT margin. And in a few minutes, again, I'll request Ajay to talk about this in a little bit more detail. If you go to the next slide. There are three areas that we're again very clear on where we can bring value. The first is what I talked about, plant engineering. Plant engineering is an industry which is where the outsourced addressable spend is almost $2.5 billion, growing at 6%. So that makes it quite an exciting market for us because obviously that's a good growth market. The second piece where I talked about bringing our digital capabilities around the various things that we've built, like as we've talked to you about this multiple times around asset management, smart plants and so on and so forth, smart factories and so on. That's a 3 billion TAM, and that's growing 15 to 20%, so that makes it quite exciting for us. And lastly is turbo machinery. These are the equipment that includes things like steam turbines, gas turbines, pumps, compressors, which also align closely with our more traditional product engineering business, and we have a number of customers. There's a little bit of an overlap, but thankfully there's a very good complementary set of customers. But that's a market, as you know, we're quite familiar with. This is the traditional engineering that we've done. And CTEC also has a very strong capability there, and that market is growing 3 to 5% in about 1.1 billion. And actually, as a little bit of an extension, turbo machinery is actually very similar. Turbo machinery is similar to aero engines because both of them are rotating gas turbines. And it again complements very well, and that's why we also see synergy in people and the ability to move around. But net-net, we believe that this is a market that's $6 to $7 billion. And this is only the engineering for gas power plants and the other areas. not the overall spend, but just the outsourced engineering spend that we can address is about $6.6 billion growing at 10%. So it's a great market. We have a unique and differentiated capacity. So the future looks quite promising and quite exciting. And we're really looking forward to partnering with CTEC in this journey. If I may then double click a little bit into the plant engineering, especially around the power plants. If you look at it, the global installed capacity is growing 3 to 3.5% every year, and it's expected to grow. Of course, areas like coal, which is not really a focus area for us, have stagnated. But the two areas that are growing quite a bit are obviously the renewables and also the natural gas sectors and hydro also to some extent. But these are the two areas that are growing, and these are the areas that CTEC actually does quite well in. And I want to, and if we go to the next slide, if you look at the renewables, most renewables, and this is a very interesting thing for us to keep in mind, most renewables actually have a gas backup because as we all know, solar and wind can have a bit of a reliability problem because you don't get 24-hour support out of them. So both of these sectors have a gas backup. And that gas backup, which is the core of the design that CTEC does both in the equipment and on the plant, is growing at 8.5% CAGR. So we believe that this positions us very, very uniquely in the market because there's not many markets of this size which grow 8.5% as a market. And CTEC has a differentiated position in this market, which is growing at a fairly aggressive pace. So net-net, my point is if we just dig deeper into the whole logic of why we did it, it is a great market. We've found ourselves a very good niche position, and that position is actually growing at 8.5%, so it positions us very well. In that sector, and of course, there is the adoption of digital, which is growing at 15 to 20%, and of course, lastly, the turbo machinery. So we've found ourselves a very, very nice position in this spot, which we believe will help us grow and accelerate growth into the future. And if I may just take you quickly to the next slide, you know, this is a good summary. We see that in the immediate term, we will do well in the energy and in the marine and mining. In the midterm, we'll then extend into wind and solar in a lot more sustainable manner. And then in the longer term, it will put us into other adjacencies like nuclear, pharma, and semiconductor, that is. So the story all ties in very well. I'll be happy to answer questions, but before that, I'll first request Ajay to take us through some of the financials of the transaction. Ajay, over to you.
Thank you very much, Krishna. I am very, very delighted to report, further to what Krishna said in terms of this acquisition. You all had received this weekend about our earnings growth of 40%, and also the industry-leading earnings, and some of you also had a concern around the revenue growth. So I definitely feel, as Krishna said, this is a great initiative by us to widen the portfolio and not only have the industry-leading earnings growth, but also get back to the industry-leading revenue growth. In terms of how will it specifically impact the details in terms of the financials, we are trying to complete this closing in early May. That's the most likely scenario. Things are clean. We would be able to consolidate it for 11 months in this particular year. And that's how, when you look at the numbers, the first column for 23, we have given you the numbers for 11 months, how they will look like for 23. In terms of growth, first let me say that we already gave an outlook of 13 to 15% growth for organic. So this is incremental to what we talked to you on the earnings call. So over and above that, we expect an addition of about this number, 83 to 87 million, based on the 11 months financials. In terms of the margin, we are planning to make this as 14 to 16% kind of a margin business. Last 2 years, it has been above 15%. So when you look at the 13% number in Krishna's presentation, that was more of, adjusted EBITDA. If you see, for the last 2 years, they have consistently given above 15%, and the last year number is significantly higher 10-15%, but we are looking at 14-16%. We also have already embarked a lot of the initiatives and expansion. Good thing is it already has the India leg. This is an opportunity for further offshoring as well. Right now we are at a level of 20-22% in terms of the offshore revenue. And there are other initiatives that are possible. I'm sure Kartik can address some of them as we proceed into the questions and answers. So we are very confident that, unlike in the past, we had a concern that, we are compromising on quality of our revenue or the profile of our EBIT. I want to assure the investors that this will not be diluted to us. Except for the first year, we have to make sure that we make certain investments in upgrading the IT, the cybersecurity, and some of the things that are required in terms of integration of the business. For that, we have to spend some amount, and because of that, there could be a little headwind on the margin for the first. And we have also quantified how much would be the impact of that as we see it right now. APS, it is accretive. We have also quantified for you. This is over and above the EPS that we talked to you as part of our outlook. So it's absolutely accretive. And we are looking at, you have seen consistently, we have taken about 50% debt to make sure that, our belief is in line with our strategy. There is a huge, huge potential for us to make investments. And we are not compromising in any way in terms of the cash and the opportunity to sort of make sure that we have a nice capital budget. So in that perspective, all of our acquisitions we have been doing 50%. Because this also means that, we get the financing completely tied in for interest and foreign exchange at, rates which are marginally lower than 3%. So it brings down the cost of capital, it brings the tax liability down. And that I have been explaining to all of you time and again. Similar approach we are taking here. And when I say the EPS accretion, this EPS accretion is after taking into account that particular cost of debt. Free cash flow is in line for the last 2 years. Their free cash flow conversion has been 60% on average. Their DSO is about 80-85 days. But we will make sure that, we will run a campaign and bring it in line. That's what we can commit in terms of free cash flow. As you know, this entity will have the benefit of European tax rates, so it does have a little scope for improvement on our ETR based on the proportion of PBT. And we also looked at in terms of a good win-win between the seller and the buyer to make sure that, whatever is our EBIT is accretive and all of our ratios are positive on this particular transaction. And this becomes really very exciting acquisition for us to widen our base and to deliver you not only industry-leading earnings growth, but also the industry-leading revenue growth. With this, I will invite Johan to make some comments that you would like to make about SciTech. And then, of course, Johan will also be available during the question and answer session. So hand over to you, Johan, and after that, we can take the questions.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Please proceed.
Very good. Okay, so thank you. And first of all, I want to say that I'm really excited about this journey that we start now together with science. So that's a huge opportunity there. But I would like to go through with you a few things. One brief update of SciTech, what kind of company we are and what we are focusing on. And then the second part is what are the opportunities we from SciTech side see of this partnering with science. So first, SciTech is a multidiscipline engineering company. And we focus on plant engineering, product engineering. We also have technical documentation and digital solutions. And the majority of our business is in the energy sector, so really strong foothold in this area. And that is interesting because there is so big transition happening in the energy sector with renewables and so forth. Today, we are approximately 1,200 experts, and our offices, we are located in Finland, Sweden, Norway, France, Germany, India, and our head office is in Finland, a smaller town called Vaasa. And we have two locations in India, one in Mumbai and the other one in Pune. And what our business model that we have? So our business model is that we have really strong knowledge competence close to our customers. We have several OEM customers, technology companies, and our organization is located very close to these to help them with engineering work. And once we have done this understanding, packaging it, then we do the majority of the work with our experts in India. And what we provide our customers is competence, flexibility, and cost efficiency. And this is highly valued from our customers. And this has to be with superior quality. So this is what we do, Sitek. And when it comes to second thing, how do I see the future together now with Cyient? As I said, I'm truly happy that Sitek and Cyient are partnering and starting to build the future together. The journey starts now, and we will start to do the planning integration step by step going forward. And what's really interesting, what we see the value from Sitek side, is the big organization, the global organization that Cyient has, with the over 14,000 experts. Truly global company. That will help us serve our customers globally. And then the other thing is the strong competence, the strong offerings, and especially the digital offerings that Cyient has. This will really give us the digital offering to a new level to our customers. So I'm really excited about this journey that we are about to start now. So thank you for my side, and over to Krishna.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mukul Garg from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Krishna, I just wanted to start with the revenue expectation for FY23 from the acquisition, because if you look at the commentary which Sitek shared in their December filing to European debt exchanges, they were talking about expectation of 100 million euros revenues, while the numbers which you guys are quoting, are giving an impression of the growth being flattish for the next fiscal year. So if you can just help us understand, has there been any change in market, view from their end? And also, if you can help clarify the factors which kind of kept them from growing over last 7 to 8 years. The growth, the company has not seen a meaningful growth over last many years, despite a single small acquisition also. So what really is changing in the current environment?
Johan, may I request you to answer the question? I think there's two parts of it. One is from your filings in December to now, we are looking at a different growth trajectory because the expectation was 100 million in that filing. Maybe if you could answer that, we could then move on to the second part.
And Johan, if I can help you, if you look at the number that they have given in this presentation, which comes to around for 11 months, what we are talking about the number of 83 to 87. This is only for 11 months. And if I take it for 12 months, it would be something like $93 million. Just wanted to clarify, Johan, this is for 11 months.
Yes, thank you. Unfortunately, the line is a bit bad, so I did not get all the questions isn't yet exactly so. From that perspective, it's very difficult for me to answer. If I just said that our midterm, what we have come out is to say that our midterm target is to reach 100 million, and this is what on the revenue side, and we are on that path, and I don't see, there is opportunities, and the transition that's happening in Europe on the energy side is something we're really looking into at the moment. So unfortunately, I didn't catch all the questions here, so I'm not able to answer more than that.
That's helpful, Johan. I think just to clarify, Johan's point is that guidance that they're given is for the midterm, and to just correlate it to our RJ's numbers, that would be 93 million or so for this year, give or take. And I'll just say that will actually be a good growth compared to the previous year. And also the first quarter of the year has gone quite well, so we're quite confident in the number that RJ talked about. In terms of the second part of the question, I think there's been a lot of focus that Johan and his management team over the last 2 to 3 years have brought in terms of the profitability. If you look at while the growth has been it's been flat from a revenue perspective, from a profitability perspective, they've actually done a fantastic job, and the margins have grown from mid-single digits to almost the 15% number as an EBITDA number. So the focus has really been there, and from our perspective, the good thing has been that one is we see the strength of operations now that all the hard work has been done by the team. And the second thing is the growth has on top of it come back. If you look at the $93 million number compared to the 80-some number that they would have done last year, that's quite a significant growth. So it's a good point in time for us to have come in.
So Krishna, Ajay, just to clarify, the numbers which the company has reported are in euros, and your guidance is in dollars. So, 80 million euros versus, 84-85 million dollars are fairly comparable. I don't think that growth is being factored into your guidance. That was just the point I wanted to highlight. And also if you can just give an overview on how do you see the medium-term EBITDA margin? The company last quarter delivered an EBITDA margin in mid-20s. So, is that something which was more of an one-off?
If I can just say that, Krishna, see, one is, we have done an extensive sort of, due diligence and work together, including that, some of the initiatives take time to kick off. So we have built it not from the guidance that was given. We have built it from, as Krishna said, from where they have left the year. And what gap you are seeing is more like, between the high side that, the number I'm giving is 11 months, if you analyze it, and then the gap will be about $20 million. This will be $92 million versus $110 million if you take everything in dollars, which Krishna said is for mid-year. But I would say that, we have done our due diligence, and our basis is not what guidance has been given. We have used experts, we have used our business team, we have spent a lot of time, a lot of people have gone there. So we are very confident of what we are giving as, our outlook for the business. And I would not read too much into it except saying that that is the ambition and a target they were taking. We as a company, as Time, are willing to commit this number close to $83 to $87 million for this year and $100 million plus minus $2 million for the next year. As far as margin is concerned, yes, I think the last year margin as such, if you see, was 17%. The year before that was also about 15%. Then we have also looked at, when a smaller company gets integrated into us, we also looked at the due diligence perspective. What are the one-offs, for example, you look at the COVID impact and cutting off travel, cutting off some space and all that. So I think it is after a lot of due diligence when we say that, we can look at a margin of 14 to 16%. With one-offs in first year for the investment that we will make in integration. We have done it after a lot of due diligence. I would not go for that reconciliation. I would say please trust our due diligence and look at the outlook that we are giving.
Fair enough. Thanks for answering my question. I'll get back into the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep S. from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Mr. Sandeep, if you can come closer to the device, please.
Yeah, I'm actually closer. Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is better, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, yeah. Just wanted to check, when I check the annual report of CTEC, they also have a debt worth 27 million euros on their books. So just wanted to understand whether that debt also being transferred to Cyan books, and over and above that, we would be financing this deal with 50% of the debt. So considering this, EPS accretion may be slightly lower.
So I would say that, you know, we are very clear as a policy that one, we do all the transactions debt-free, cash-free. And if you look at, in some way, we are looking at the number that we have given for the yield, and then we have a debt on that and we have a cash. So those will be the closing adjustments. As far as, you know, the debt is concerned, we are still examining, talking to some of the bondholders, talking to their advisors and how we deal with it. And our most likely preference will be to discharge it. We are looking at two options, whether to take 50% of that on debt, again, you know, sub 3%, or to look at full. Just give us some time. Along with the closing, we will be able to confirm.
So, Ajay, is it, just to clarify, the debt which is currently sitting on CTEC's book worth 27-28 million euros will not be transferred to the signed book, right? It's...
That is right. It will not be transferred. It will be retired. As part of the closing, in simultaneous or pre-condition, those details we are working. So as when we have our quarter one call, there will be no debt on that particular asset for us. And as I said, some of the details we are working with them in terms of timeline.
So this retirement of debt would be done by the previous management, right?
So we are working out those details. Yes, our condition is that, but it will not be right, in my opinion, to we are working in a very collaborative spirit. I think we are all making sure. So in principle, it will be retired. It will not come in our books. And we are working together sort of discharge it. That's what I can say.
Okay, okay. And just a second question, Ajay. Just wanted to understand what would be the acquisition amortization of the purchase consideration? What proportion would be allocated towards the acquired intangibles and how you will amortize? Any color on that?
So I think the next steps would be that, you know, we as part of the closing, we have to do that typical asset allocation and proportion of purchase consideration. I don't have that report right now. So we have made some estimates based on our past historical numbers. Give us some time, you know, after we announce the closing, and in the quarter one call, we can explain to you. Right now, we have used some estimates based on our historical ratio.
Okay, okay. And just last few things, the acquired company has a healthy EBITDA margin of 18.6%, 18.7% in CY21. So is it fair to say at EBITDA level, this margin is sustainable, or you believe this was largely driven through because of the cost saving in COVID times, which may not repeat going forward starting CY22?
So I would say two comments. Yes, I think in near term, we are baking in 14 to 16%. You are right, some of the costs related to COVID. And we also have to be careful, you know, when, you know, you are buying a business and it is up for sale. So I would say 14 to 16% is what we are looking at near term. But yes, there could be, you know, opportunities including, you know, already a footprint into India and can we enhance that and also we are looking at that, whether we can go back to those levels. But I would say near and medium term, for the next 2 years, I would say the margin of 14 to 16%.
Ajay, I was talking about EBIT margin, not the EBIT margin. So what you are talking is 14%.
Mr. Sandeep, sorry to interrupt. Your voice is breaking up.
No, but I think to Sandeep's point, and what I just said, basically this is the EBIT margin. Now, EBITDA, you can extrapolate out of it. I mean, obviously, we focus on EBIT more than EBITDA. So we're talking about the EBIT margin now.
Hello.
Yeah.
Mr. Sandeep, you have any other questions?
No, actually, I couldn't able to hear the management what they said in a previous question to reply.
See, what we are saying is that, you know, looking at some of the next steps in terms of purchase consideration, which will decide some of the amortization and all, right now, we would be able to say that, you know, the 18.6 or whatever you are referring to is not sustainable. 14 to 16% is what we are targeting for year one and year two, and then further we will work on improving the margin. Between EBIT and EBITDA, give us some more time, we will be not be able to comment right now.
Okay. Have more questions will come in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shraddha Agarwal from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to understand, how does the volatility in the gas sector impact the financials of the acquired entity?
So I think the way that we've looked at it and the way that we've understood it is that the projects that CTEC works on are quite long-term in nature. They're quite supportive of not just the gas sector as one, but as I talked about, they also have a lot of support renewable energy, because renewable energy almost always comes with gas backup. So it's a balance of these two things. So that's one element. The second element is also, if you look at with all the volatility now, there's a lot of rethink in terms of energy transition, in terms of rebalancing the supply sources. There's a lot of background noise. I think whoever needs to go on mute, please. So there is, all these things start to come in. So taking all that into account, we're quite confident that CTEC and of course then Ag Science, with some of the capabilities that we have, will become a very differentiated player. The second thing is a lot of CTEC's capability and expertise is also in building, designing for the building of the plants. We also do some work on the digital aspects and the technology aspects, which is basically around the operations of the plant. And that's where we've built a lot of good capabilities. So we believe, keeping in line with our design build maintain value chain, it also helps us move across the value chain in terms of providing the operations related services and solutions. So taking both these things into account, I think we're quite well positioned in terms of how we can offer these services to the market, notwithstanding the current volatility in some areas of the market.
Right. And can you also talk something about their client concentration? How many clients do they have, and what does the client concentration look like?
The top five clients, I think, are about 70% of the revenue, 75% of the revenue. That's one of the things that we quite like on the business, because there are five clients who are absolutely strategic clients, even from a client perspective. One of them is a common client, but not in a very large manner for us. And therefore, we think that it's a good supplement in terms of how it works. So five clients are about 70-75%, and we actually make that quite a bit of our business.
Right. And currently, within portfolio, how big is plant engineering for us? And if you could give that split
between.
We do about sub $10 million in terms of our plant engineering today. And we definitely believe with an additional capabilities that we are getting in and our ability to bring synergy on the digital side of the plant engineering, whether it is digital twin or predictive maintenance, and our ability to support the plant operations, I think that would help us to address the growth in double digits in the integrated capabilities over the next 3 to 5 years. And also the biggest opportunity that we are looking forward is on the energy transition, and which is likely to happen in the next 20 years and to meet the emission standards that have been agreed by most of the countries. And this could mean roughly about 50-60% greenhouse gas emission reduction, or about $15 trillion spent. So there is a huge capex that need to be spent, and three-fourths of them has to be on the clean energy, and that's going to be an opportunity that we are really going to bet on for the next 20 years or so.
Sure, that's good. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Ahuja from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just one small clarification, if I heard it correctly. Did you say that on EBITDA margins, for FY23, it's going to be in the range of 14% to 16%. Sorry, I missed that part.
So you can refer to the slide for everybody. It's very clear. If you look at the bottom of the slide, we have said EBIT margin is likely to be 14% to 16%. So we are all, in all the discussions that we have talked about the EBIT margin. Does that clarify?
Okay. And it still be a net profit, in terms of net profit, it's just accretive for FY23.
Yes.
Look at the slide. I don't know if you have access to the slide. Sorry, I
missed the PPT. I joined. It is accretive on EPS. I'll read out the numbers. It is accretive by about 3 rupees in year 1 and about 5 to 6 rupees in year 2.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Thadani from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. I just had a question on the earnouts. Are there any earnouts as part of the transaction, given that's a trend that we've seen in a lot of the recent transactions in the space? If not, then how do we plan to protect future performance as well as senior management retention for this deal?
So there's no earnouts. This was we're acquiring this company or acquiring the shares from a private equity called Centica, which is a finished private equity. So obviously, given the nature of the transaction, there is no earnout per se. Of course, from the past perspective, I think one is, therefore, our diligence process was a lot more detailed than what we would normally do, which Centica and the CTEC management were very helpful with. So that gives us the confidence. And of course, there's reps and warranties and insurances and so on and so forth in the off case that we need to protect ourselves. Of course, the second point, which is, I'd say, the more important thing, which is the motivation and retention of senior management. We're working with Johan and the team on making sure that we put together an attractive retention package, especially for the key people. And we will do that through more through some of science retention measures, including ESOPs and RSUs and, of course, bonuses and so on and so forth. So that's how we plan to protect the leadership that is there. And not just the business leadership, but also technical leadership, because that's something that is very, very unique about CTEC, is the capability that the organization brings to the team.
Got it. Thank you. That's all for my time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Shindadkar from InCred Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Abhishek, your line is in talk mode. Kindly go ahead with your question, please.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the acquisition. Maybe this question is for Johan, if you can hear us clearly. If you look at the decadal performance of this company, media articles suggest that, this was a 1,000-member, 50 million euro company in 2011, and you had targets to double the revenue in 2015. So if you can just explain, what has gone through, maybe what was right, something went wrong, or anything in terms of, what changed during the decade. That is first question. And the second question is, on the CTEC website, it seems that, there is an update that, the conditional call to redeem the outstanding bond loan is put up. So this question is, I think to the earlier question again, that are they kind of paying the loan outstanding which is on the books of CTEC? Thank you for taking my questions.
And are you in a position to answer the first part of the question?
Yes. So can you hear me?
Yes, now it's clear.
Very good. So first of all, yes, Centica acquired the company in 2011, and the size of the company was what it was then, and it was a plan to grow the company. But the plan did not really, maybe they didn't meet the target they set then, and I joined the company in December 17. And I would say that the company, there was a lot of positive things, good customer relationships, good competence in the organization set up, everything was there But there were some things that we had to put focus on. It was focusing on increasing control, project delivery control, business control, sales control, all these plays. Then we looked on the cost structure, put it on a healthy cost structure, and then went for a growth. And when we put this systematically in place, now the company is healthy and we are on track as we discussed earlier. Maybe coming to the bond things, I'll give the word over to Krishna.
I think maybe Ajay will answer that.
So again, you know, I would first of all say that, you know, none of us or the people should be worried about the bond. It's just the issue that we have been discussing as part of the closing the transaction, and everything is agreed, both in technically as well as, you know, in spirit. The issue clearly is that, you know, we have to retire this debt. It has been agreed. We are ready with the funding to retire the debt. Only question is, I don't want to pay the debt unless I become the owner. So we have to do it simultaneously or put it in escrow. So some formalities are there just to conclude that. So I want to give a comfort that as far as we are concerned, we will not have this debt on our books. As far as how do we do it between now and closing the transaction, we are working out those formalities, and I don't see slightest of the risk on those formalities. The cost of debt finally that we will have on our assets is going to be one of the best, fully tied in for interest and foreign exchange, will be less than 3%. These are the three comments.
Thanks. That answers my question. Thank you for taking my question and best wishes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudhir Guntupalli from Kotak Mahindra. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks, Krishna, and thanks, Ajay. I think this question was asked in a few different ways earlier, and at least I am very much confused on this aspect. So just if you can provide further clarity, it will be great. So your press release mentions that enterprise value of $94 million on a debt-free and cash-free basis. I know that, you know, whatever is the closing cash on the balance sheet that belongs to us, subject to the closure. But what I'm trying to understand is what exactly is the consideration that we are paying in whatsoever form and fashion, be it the cash that we are giving to the exiting private equity company or the debt we are retiring. So what is the cost to Cyient to kind of make this acquisition go through? The wording of enterprise value on a debt-free basis is a little confusing. So, Ajay, if you can provide clarity on that, that's my first question. In whatsoever form and fashion.
Can I take the first one? You are concerned. I want to make sure first you get comfortable before you go to the next.
Yes, Ajay.
As we have said in our stock exchange release, the enterprise value is at 6.38, right? And that's 94 million. Okay? What we are going to pay them in cash is going to be 68 million euros. All numbers we have given in the stock exchange in euros. I want to be very, very transparent. All this bond will be paid to the bondholders. I already explained about the mechanism. And cash, whatever is there, will be retained in the books. Our rough estimates give us this calculation of 68. And so this will be, you know, this is the whole mechanism. So if you're asking me, 68 million is the cash outflow from us to the seller, plus taking off the bonds on the balance sheet which is there, and in terms of the cash, that's the normal adjustment which is there. There is no equity. As far as financing of this 94 is concerned, I already explained, we will do 50-50 or maybe a little higher looking at some of the consideration to the extent of the share. I hope this clarifies.
So you mean to say that the total consideration is 94 million euros, right? We are not going to pay...
Enterprise value is 94 million.
Okay, sir. Let me ask this way. So including everything in all forms and fashion, our cost to Cyient to make this acquisition go through will not be greater than 94 million euros.
Yes.
That's understanding.
Yes. That's understanding.
Sure. Sure. And my second question, if I look at the, you know, EV upon sales, EV upon revenue, this is roughly 1.2 times of calendar 21 revenue. Looks like a fairly attractive number, and the seller is a private equity company. So I'm a little surprised as to
who exactly is leaving value on the table here? Is it because, is it the multiple is so attractive because this entity has not seen much of a growth over the previous several years, or is there something else that we are missing here?
See, that's honestly, I wouldn't answer that question because that's between us and the seller. And at the end of the day, you know, we've agreed on a value that makes sense for both of us. And I think it's a value that, you know, we feel comfortable in growing the business. And obviously, it's a value that the seller feels comfortable in selling. So I think honestly, I think it's unfair to try to look at who's leaving value on the table, because I don't think any deal gets done if somebody feels like they're leaving value on the table. So it's a fair value, you know, it's a fair value for, you know, if you look at how you guys value us, for example, you've said growth and you've said margin and you've said predictability and you've given us a value. And, you know, we've used the same logic and we've come up with a value and the seller felt that it was a fair value. So saying that we're leaving or somebody is leaving value on the table is not right.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Sandeep S. from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just was eager to understand the sequence of transactions. So I think in Feb 2021, the parent of SciTech has taken 100% control of the company. And now in this April of 2022, they are selling the stake. So just wanted to understand how the valuations have happened in Feb and now as a whole. And why in a, such a short period of time they are exiting the 100% as a whole.
No, I don't see that. Centrica has owned SciTech since 2011. So that's the, they've had it for, it's been a 10-year investment for the private equity. So I'm not sure what happened in February.
I think they had some business considering. First of all, I think I would not go into those details. I want to say that it is a very clean transaction. They did have some changes in their parent level structure between financing on equity and bond. But I think in this call for us to discuss about them, it will be unfair. And I just want to assure everybody that everything is very, very clean. You should not be worried on any particular count. We are not worried on that count. It's just the way they have done their structuring of their balance sheet, it has been changing between those periods. It will not be absolutely fair for us to, you know, comment on that particular aspect. But we are very comfortable in our due diligence to make sure the way we are acquiring the asset is absolutely clean. We are directly acquiring SciTech. And SciTech is absolutely clean and immediately.
Okay, okay. And just a second question, more on macro. So if I look at the geopolitical issue, which can, you know, lead the supply chain issues, especially on gas within Europe as a whole. So in that scenario, is it fair to say there could be more macro issue for this company, SciTech, at least in the next 6 to 12 months? Or you believe, no, that could be an opportunity for the vendor like SciTech to convert from gas to other source of power generation as a whole?
So I think that's one of the things that was quite attractive, and it's a fair point that the current geopolitics would are a big risk and therefore would spend a lot of time. I think a couple of things I'd say. One is I think it's an opportunity for SciTech because as both the sources of gas are changing and also this whole energy for the future is changing in Europe, the opportunity for SciTech is quite you know, it's a unique and a niche opportunity. Also, in the shorter term, a couple of things are going to happen. Right, one is that you know, Russian gas will have to be replaced by other sources of gas. This will include the need for what's called LNG terminals to be built, for example. LNG terminals are nothing but large process plants that are built on the shore to bring gas, or, you know, new pipelines will have to be built, such as the ones that they're talking in southern Europe. So all of these things are actually good opportunities for SciTech in the short term. Business, they had very, very little dependency on Russia or Belarus. There was a little bit of business, but that business obviously has been stopped. Also, in the diligence process, we got a comfort of what the future business could have been, and all that's also been taken off the table. Therefore, if anything, you know, the current business we're quite confident is going to be well positioned on the current business is well positioned. And also the future looks like with the changes in the sources and also how gas is going to be brought in, et cetera, it's a good situation. But the last thing, of course, is there's going to be more hydrogen, biomass, et cetera, given that EU has also declared those things as green sources. So all of those bode quite well. So, of course, I mean, there is, you know, the risk that exists today is really a force majeure kind of risk for all of us. I mean, it is a real risk if Russia does something more aggressive in Europe, especially in Eastern Europe or Finland. It is a risk, but that's a force majeure risk, and therefore, you know, the board deliberated on it quite a bit, but I think we all agree that that's a risk that just exists for all of us. I mean, let's face it, right, if Russia attacks NATO, then it is a much more significant issue than how the world's engineering services businesses are going to perform. So we just have to, we have to be aware of it, but, that wasn't something that bothered the board very much.
Okay, fair enough. Congratulations and all the best.
So thank you very much. I think that brings us to the conclusion of the call. So I'll just before handing it over to the moderator, I'd say all of you have been very supportive, and I think all of you obviously understand our business quite well. So needless to say, the questions were also very insightful as we reflect back. So thank you for that. I just want to assure everybody that this is a very well thought through acquisition from a strategic perspective, fit perspective, but also equally importantly on the diligence that we went through on a financial, legal, etc. And we're really excited to welcome Johan and his team to Cyient. And I can assure you that there's some very, very good growth and exciting times ahead for us. So thank you, and back to you, moderator.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Cyient Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.